Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, he says, Rick Steves steps up to save a center for the homeless in his hometown. And Delta Airlines says, give up your seats and we'll give you a big pile of cash. Except then they tell the volunteer there's been a mistake. Those stories and more next in the news.
Travelers United published a survey where they asked it's going to be one of those days.
Yes,
Travelers United published a survey where they asked what one improvement would make flying more civil. Well, we'll share the results in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
On the back half of the show, we have an extended version of the mailbag. That's where we answer some of the many questions we get online on the air. Send your questions to travelguysradio.com.
Thanks for making room for us this holiday season. Welcome to the Christmas and New Year's edition of the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Hello, Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys live on the radio this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Mark is in St. Louis. Tom's in his studio, and it's always a little more complicated when we're this far apart. We can't see each other, and there's always a little bit of a delay, but my brain is in delay. I still haven't recovered from Christmas. How you doing, Mark?
Well, I'm not doing too awful bad. It's going to be 60 degrees here in St. Louis today. It's going to be 70 tomorrow, and then it's going to snow on Monday. So, welcome to the Midwestern part of the country where the weather is always a surprise. But I'm here in my favorite baseball city, visiting some friends and family, and having a little Christmas, and we'll head back to Sacramento tomorrow morning. Did you have a nice Christmas?
We did. Like everybody in the area here, we dealt with a lot of wind, followed by a lot of rain. And man, I'll tell you, there were times on Christmas Day where you had a blend of very, very heavy rain, what appeared to be hail. I understand it probably was sleet, but it got pretty ugly for a while. But fortunately, things have dried out. There's a little bit of sunshine today, and I think Sacramento, weather-wise, may be over the worst of it. So when you come home, it shouldn't be too awfully bad. Are you there through Monday through the snow?
No. I'm getting out of town tomorrow, and I have to pass through Chicago. So I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed there, but hopefully I will get out of town before the bad weather really gets into the Midwest here. But of course, if people who have lived here or been here before know that it's, you know, the weather, I think the weather changes in Sacramento a lot. Boy, it really changes often here in the middle of the country. I don't think I could do this. I really don't. I'm a California wimp when it comes to, you know, our weather is really among the mildest weather in the whole country. But anyways, Christmas travel seems to have gone reasonably well. There was a bad storm that hit the East Coast, some snow there, and so some people got messed up a little bit. But in looking at reports for around the country for yesterday and today, in terms of cancellations and stuff, nothing really abnormal. So most folks are kind of getting where they're going, and probably there's somebody out there listening to this right now who's been trying to get out of town for 2 days and says, you don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, at least it has been relatively mild through most of the country. And I look forward to getting back to California. There's no place like home, as Dorothy said.
All right. Well, okay. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And that music signals it's time for Mark to bring us up to date. Mark, what do you have on the travel news for today?
Well, this is one of the best stories of the year, and I will say this. I don't really know Rick Steves very well. He's been a travel icon forever. He comes to town generally once a year or so. He's a big fan of public television and NPR. And so he does a lot to support them and is frequently in town speaking and the like. But this is really kind of a cool story. He lives in Linwood and Edmonds, Washington, two suburb, kind of suburban communities for Seattle. There was a hygiene center up there for homeless people. Basically, it's a place that provides a space where people can get showers and food and clothing and stuff like that. It's not a place for them to live, but it's a place where people get important things that help them live. And the center was under some really, really serious financial problems. And so Rick Steves stepped up and bought the property for over $2 million, which has allowed it to stay open. And wow. To take the funds that they would have had to use to try to save the place and use those for services for people. So I thought that was really worth mentioning today. He's a guy who speaks a lot. He's kind of the face of travel oftentimes. So when the face of a part of the industry steps up and does something like that, it certainly is worthy of being recognized. It wasn't this story did not come from Steves or his people. It came literally from the local news services there. And the gentleman who is the manager at the center, they have roughly 50 visitors a year, about 10 to 13,000 hot meals provided. And so the guy that runs it was kind of homeless. It was homeless himself 5 years ago. Anyway, congratulations to our travel friend Rick Steves, who really stepped up to the plate and helped out a homeless center in his state of Washington. Congratulations, Rick, and thank you for by extension making all of us in the travel industry look a little bit brighter. What do you suppose, Tom? Go ahead.
No. I was just saying that was an amazing story. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, me too. Because I'm not always that guy's biggest fan, but in this case, there's no question that he did something really cool. What do you suppose is the most expensive museum in the world to get in?
The most expensive museum. Wow, I don't know. In the world?
In the world?
Yeah, I don't know. The Louvre.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations, sir. You win the big prize. I really didn't think you would pull that rabbit out of your hat, but you did. the cost to enter the Louvre, I only mention this because as of January 14th next year, the price is going up a little bit. $10, actually 10 pounds, it's going up. This story on Travel and Leisure is from England, so everything is in pounds. $11.70, so it's going to cost you about $37.50. to get into the Louvre. That's just to get into the museum. That's not any of the special exhibits or any of the special stuff that that might be going on there at the time. Africa will get its first Marriott Edition hotel in 2026. It will be in Cape Town. If you are familiar at all, it is down on the waterfront. It will be about 450 rooms, and so Marriott comes to Africa. American Airlines is overhauling its Dallas-Fort Worth schedule to improve connections. I am not a major flyer of American Airlines, but I know people who are, and they do everything they can to avoid Dallas-Fort Worth, which unfortunately from Sacramento with American Airlines is one of their major service transfer points, one of their major hubs. So if you're an American traveler, it is really, really hard to avoid Dallas-Fort Worth. But anyway, American has for a long time had trouble with connections there, trying, I think it basically is over-scheduling flights, trying to get too many people in and out in too short of a period of time. So they've made some changes that they say will improve connection times and airspace efficiency. So all of those folks that I know out there who are always grousing to me about American Airlines and Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm sure in a couple of months, you will come back and tell me whether this worked or not. I won't have to read it in the news. I'm sure people will come back and tell me. The cruise industry has failed to stop a Hawaii cruise tax. Hawaii is charging the cruise industry sort of like if you stay in a hotel on land, you pay a hotel tax. And those taxes are generally used to not only support tourism services in a community, but other services that tourists use, such as police and fire services and some public services, things like that. So Hawaii had decided to charge an 11% cruise tax, which is fairly close to the average hotel tax in the country, scheduled to take effect on January the 1st. CLIA, which is the cruise lines industry of America, tried to overturn the cruise tax, but they lost. U.S. District Judge denied the motion on December the 23rd. So it looks as though Hawaii, if you go to on a cruise in Hawaii, it's going to cost you a little bit more because Hawaii says we want our share out of what it is that you're staying close to Hawaii and you're using all of our goods and services. So really, we feel like that you ought to pony up a little bit for what we're doing. It's a hard argument to dispute, but man, that's a big hit to cruise takers in the state of Hawaii, where things are already not all that inexpensive. And finally, last story today, Delta Airlines told a man that if he would give up his seat, they would give him $15,000 in cash. Now, you would say, this is really bizarre, but I will tell you that there are stories online. When I thought this was really bizarre and I went online to look it up, I saw that there were situations where Delta had given people as much as $10,000 to get off of an airplane. A couple of those were first class seats. One was an international situation. But anyway, they were looking for an extra seat. And this guy said, hey, you know, he had a wife, I mean, a partner and a child on the plane. And he said, all right, you stay here. I'll take the money. We'll have another vacation. When he got off the airplane and the door was closed, the Delta Gate employees informed him that they had made a huge mistake and that the offer was for $1,500, not $15,000. And the gentleman said, well, in that case, I don't take the offer. And Delta said, we are so sorry, but the airplane door has been closed and it's getting ready to push back and you can't get on the plane. Besides, we've given your seat to someone else. So he's going to take him to court. And we'll keep an eye on this one, since it's kind of a to me, if you're in a situation now, I can't imagine getting $15,000 to get off an airplane, even if you had a first class ticket around the world. It wouldn't cost more than $8,000 or $10,000. And I can't imagine an airline offering that sort of compensation. But it is true that Delta Airlines in the past has offered people large sums of money to give up seats on airplanes. So we'll see what happens here. The guy is taking him to court and he's going to sue Delta Airlines. I don't blame him. He says everybody on the airplane heard him make that offer. So the fact that it wasn't the right offer or they made a mistake is, he says, is not my fault. And I say, good for you, dude. Good luck to you.
And you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the old WKRP television program, which if people don't know what that was about, it was a fictitious radio station in Cincinnati, and Johnny Fever, the morning guy, they were offering a prize if you could name, you know, five songs in a row, and Johnny misspoke. Instead of saying it was a, you know, $50 prize, he said it was a $5,000 prize. And then they had to deal with that at the radio station because he said it. It went out over the air. He made a mistake. He read the wrong notes. And then the story goes on from there. You can probably find it on a rerun. But, man, I mean, the fact that other people heard it that could testify that, and then whoever it was, the flight attendant, whoever that misspoke, man, if they
well,
win.
What is even a... What is more interesting here is that this was a flight from Salt Lake City to Palm Springs. So this guy wasn't flying for, it wasn't like they were flying internationally or overseas or they were seated in first class or anything. So it's like, I mean, they said it the guy says the flight attendants, the captain, he said Delta's own emails to me later admitted that the $15,000 offer was for real. But then when he got off the plane and it pushed back, why they said no. Now, you would have thought that If they made a mistake like that, of course, I guess they've already put somebody in the guy's seat. The gate has, you know, already come back from the plane, and probably the plane is starting to leave. But so I guess you don't have too many options at that point. But it seems like the airline, I mean, this has gotten quite a bit of coverage, and it hasn't died quickly. And so it just seems to me like somebody somewhere on Delta should pick up the phone and call the guy and say, here's $13,500, go away and shut up. I mean, because of the amount of publicity that they're getting off of this, and they've admitted that they made the offer to the guy. So to me, that's just more than a little bit bizarre, don't you think?
I agree. Well, follow it. We'll be listening to the travel guys. I will make sure that we dig around and find out anything further on this story. That's intriguing. However, $1,500 wouldn't be that. That's still good money. I'm sure that's probably three times that the price of what he paid for the ticket to begin with.
It probably is. But I just, you know, I mean, the guy thought, wow, what an incredible, you know, what can I do with this? He's probably already dreaming about what he could do with the money. Hey, listen, I said that was the last story, but I do have one more here. Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time penned something this week, which I thought was really kind of interesting. For those of us who are miles and points geeks, he posed this question: New Year's Eve hotel stay elite status credit. How does it work? In other words, you go check into a hotel on New Year's Eve and you check out on New Year's Day. Does the credit go to the old year or for your stay or to the new year? And of course, since I'm a geek like Ben, I immediately thought that was a really interesting question. And the answer is, it depends.
The old depends answer. Okay.
If you're with Hilton Honors, the elite night counts towards the next year. If you're with Holiday Inn, which is IHG, One Rewards, then the elite, it also counts towards the following year. Hyatt, same thing following year. But with Marriott Bonvoy, it counts towards the previous year. So if you're doing a mileage run or a hotel run and trying to preserve your status for the same year, make sure that it's a Marriott, because the other guys all count that stay towards the next year. Anyway, like I said, that was a really geek story, but I just thought that it was kind of interesting that different hotel chains count New Year's Eve stays in different ways. And that is your travel news for today.
All right, and we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our friends at Rudy's Hideaway want to wish you a happy new year and remind you that if you didn't make any plans for New Year's and you're kind of, you're in a bind, well, they have a catering department that does a lot of great stuff, including hamburgers, hot dogs, and of course, I don't know why I would go with that, if you could have them bring you out their famous filet mignon and lobster. That's Rudy's Hideaway, and of course, a great place for lunch or dinner anytime. Lunch is Tuesday through Friday, just so you'll know. And they just finished having a great Christmas celebration. Rudy's one of the few restaurants that I know that's actually open on Christmas and Christmas Day to help out, especially families that don't have families locally. They can kind of be your family. Same thing with New Year's. They are famous for their lobster tails, their prime rib, and anything that's yummy. Rudy's Hideaway can be reached at 916-351-0606, or check them out online if you've got any catering needs for the holidays or any time. Remember our friends at Rudy's Hideaway, right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Okay, coming up, let's dig into the Travelers United publication in regards to a survey that's asking how could the airlines improve that flying situation, that experience in the air. We'll tell you how when we return right here on the Travel Guys. Hey there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And Mark, before we get into our Travelers United story, I know you have one more thing you wanted to mention today. What is it?
Yeah, this is really a big change. If you remember, after 9/11, people who were not flying were no longer allowed to go past security. You had to have an airline ticket in order to get out of in order to get into an airport. Otherwise, you said goodbye to your folks outside, and they went through security. And that is about to change. And I'm not so sure that I think this is a very good idea at all. At some airports, we don't have a list yet. New TSA-approved guest passes will allow non-travelers to go up to the gates for the first time in 25 years. And the reason I don't think this is a good idea doesn't have a whole lot to do with security. The concourses are crowded enough as it is. Trying to get something to eat when you have a connection, trying to get something to eat, use the restroom, and make your next flight when you have a one-hour connection is almost impossible already at a hub airport. I mean, even at an airport like Sacramento, their seemingly incessant need to put things in the middle of the aisle, concessions in the middle of the aisle, especially in the new terminal, have cut down what used to be a very easy to move around airport to not so easy to move around anymore. And so now we're going to allow a bunch of people up onto the concourse who really have no business to be up there except to say goodbye to somebody, which they could have done a few minutes earlier. If you can tell that I'm a little bit PO'd about this, I think this is really a terrible, terrible idea. And do you know what the airports are saying? It will give us more, we will sell more stuff, more overpriced crap, food and beverages and souvenirs to people that we let onto the concourse. So that's why this is a good idea.
Well, now tell me how you really feel. Here's the deal. I have unaccompanied minor grandchildren that come to visit. The rule mm-hmm. is the parents have to get a gate pass, and they have to yeah. be there when the child gets off the plane to escort them off. That mm-hmm. I understand. And that is a rule, and that's you got to be on the list. Otherwise, you don't get the gate pass. But allowing anybody just because they want to get the last hug in before they go, but that's interesting for them to admit that they want. Did they actually admit that they want to just sell more stuff?
Absolutely. And the thing that what you're talking about makes perfect sense. You know, you've got minor children. You want to make sure that they get on the airplane. I mean, we're not going to turn minor kids loose in the airport. For God's sake. I mean, in some other situations, passes are sometimes given when you're meeting somebody who perhaps somebody is flying who has some memory issues and things like that. So I know that these exceptions are made not on a huge basis, but probably on a regular basis. So now we're going to bring these folks back onto the concourse. Plus, in many cases, these are going to be non-flyers. So these won't be people who really know what's going on. So even if they have a pass, they're going to have to come through security. So does that not have some impact on the amount of time that people, I guess security is busiest early in the day and most flights arrive later in the day. So maybe that makes some sense, but I just don't. Why in the world? Here are some airports that are opening their doors and currently offering gate passes. Oakland is one of them, Philadelphia, Detroit, New Orleans, Seattle, Orlando, Kansas City, San Diego, Cleveland, and San Antonio. Don't see Sacramento on this list yet, but I'll ask them and report back to you next week so that we can let you know, because for some people, obviously, this is something that would be very helpful to them. I just think it's going to cause a lot of issues up on the concourse, and I just don't. I don't get it. I mean, if the best reason for this you can come up with is to sell more overpriced stuff to people, then shame on you. I mean, really and truly. And I'm sorry, but I don't see the difference between saying goodbye in the lobby and saying goodbye at the gate. I just don't. So if you think I'm really barking up the wrong tree, send me a note to travelguysradio.com and we'll talk about it next week. Okay, smarter traveler. What airline improvement do you think would make flying more civil? Tom, this will not shock you at all. 43% said more comfortable, wider seats, and 33% said more legroom. So those are kind of connected, I think.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm in agreement on both of those.
Yeah, it's 76% of people say that, hey, if we could just get a little wider, a little bit more room, And of course, we can do that for you. It's called first class in case of the wider seat. And it's called first class or economy plus in with a leg room. So all you have to do is pay some money for that, and we'll be happy to accommodate you. 14% of people said no charges for the first bag would make them much happier. They think that that would make airline flying more civil. 6% said better compensation for flight delays or lost luggage. So in other words, if it's within the airline's control and you screwed up, then like they do in Europe, you should have to pay for that. That is not going to happen as long as Mr. Trump is president. And then 4% said the fifth item on this list was 4% said better snacks and better food, which probably is something that the airlines could do if they wanted to, I suppose, without it costing them too much money. But in terms of more compensation, dropping the baggage charges or getting better seats and more legroom, good luck with all of that. But those were what Travelers United, when they asked travelers, said would make flying more civil.
Well, okay, got to start somewhere. Well, I agree with pretty much how the survey looks. I think most people would as well. Okay, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, and when we return from a short break, it's into the infamous Travel Guys Mailbag, answering your questions here on the radio. Stick around.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Hey, if you live in Sacramento and you are a theater fan, a fan of the arts, oftentimes there are shows that come to San Francisco that don't come to Sacramento. So how do you get to see those wonderful performances? Sports Leisure Vacations is the answer. Go to sportsleisure.com, click on Vacations and Day Trips, and you will find that Sports Leisure can take you to all kinds of exciting shows and performances. Things like Cirque du Soleil, Tina Turner, the Tina Turner musical, the Book of Mormon, the Ten Tenors Anniversary World Tour. All of this, The Notebook, much more from Sports Leisure Vacations. Day trips to San Francisco and surrounding communities where you can see wonderful fine arts events. Go to sportsleisure.com and check it all out today.
Thanks for joining us. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here every Saturday from 11 to 12. You can find our podcast at TravelGuysRadio.com, also Sactown Sports 1140. They post the Travel Guys podcasts on their website as well, and we thank them for that. Okay, let's dig into our Travel Guys mailbag, very popular portion of the show. We do this periodically. Folks can send us their questions at TravelGuysRadio.com. When you go there on the homepage, you can leave a question. We'll either answer it here on the radio when we do the mailbag, or Mark will respond by email back to you as well. All right, Mark, we got some great questions. You ready to get to it?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, here we go. Don writes, you've talked a lot about airport lounges. In fact, we did this just recently. He says, I checked them out, and you either have to have an expensive credit card or a first-class international ticket to get in, or purchase a day pass if the lounge isn't full. Here's his question. What's the big deal to make it worth $500 to $600 a year? Mark?
Well, we probably should have our road reporter Clayton Whitehead here to answer this question, because Clayton is a lounge connoisseur. If he's got a 45-minute connection somewhere traveling with a group of people, he figures out a way to get into the lounge for 2 or 3 minutes and sneak something out, I guess. I guess it is. I don't really understand it, Tom, because I'm in airports a lot. And unless you get a really unusual situation when you're if you're lucky enough to be flying with Southwest, in most cases, you're flying point to point and you're done. I mean, Southwest serves a lot of cities nonstop that you can't get there directly on one flight unless you chose Southwest. So I'll give you an example. Palm Springs, you can go to Southwest once or twice a day, depending on the day of the week. Whereas if you want to go and not take Southwest, you'd have to go United through San Francisco, or probably Delta through Las Vegas, something like that. So anyways, when you can get there nonstop, it makes a big difference. And in that case, what would you need a lounge for, except maybe before the flight, I guess. But Clayton says that when you get in a spot, and this might be your answer, Don, is what's the big deal to make a lounge worth $500 or $600 a year? When you get into a spot and your flight is canceled or delayed, or you're going to miss your connection, something has gone wrong, you're in the lounge, you have experienced ticket agents who are there to help what generally are the airline's better travelers. You know, they were willing to pony up for the lounge, and they're probably carrying a credit card in their pocket, and they may be people who pay more to sit up front. So that's where the best service is. And Clayton says if you have a problem and you're in the lounge, your chances of getting the problem resolved are much greater than if you're on the main floor of the terminal. So I guess, Don, other than the free snacks and booze and maybe a little bit of an escape from the concourse, which sometimes those clubs are just as noisy as the concourse themselves, I would say probably the main reason to be in the lounge is if you are a frequent traveler and you oftentimes, you know, you travel for business, you absolutely have to be there. Then something comes up, you're now in a position maybe to get help on a higher quality level than you would be anywhere else. Does that make sense, Don?
Yeah, it does. And I'm glad you brought up what Clayton had said, because that is important. He did mention that it's sort of a respite, if you will, a getaway location where it's not quite as crazy as it is in the main part of the airport. But yeah, being able to have that extra help when you're in trouble, for some people, it can really be worth it. Okay, as we move on in our Travel Guys mailbag, Lucinda writes, which airports have gyms or exercise facilities in them? I get a little exercise just trying to make my flight. And the question is, will they have showers too?
This was actually a much longer question that Lucinda sent in. She basically talked about politics for about, I'd say a couple hundred words, and talked about the fact that she couldn't wait to get on an airplane and sit next to some guy or lady who had been working out in a facility because, you know, the transportation secretary said we should get more exercise, and we could get more exercise even in airports and stuff like that, which is, again, just if you fly, you know how ridiculous that statement was. Because if you have a gym and you're going to get all sweaty and you're going to get on an airplane, that's going to cause some problems. So if you had a gym, Lucinda is saying, which airports will have gyms or exercise facilities in them, and will they have showers? So she's basically saying, hey, if you want to go work out for a little bit, that's fine. Take a shower and be all nice and fresh and then come sit next to me. But otherwise, I'm not interested. So her question was a little bit longer than that. And Lucinda, I have to tell you that about 20 or 30 years ago, there were a number of domestic airports in the country that bragged about having exercise facilities. I don't recall any of those now, and your question didn't come in until late in the week. So I'm going to take a look and see if I can find out if there are any airports that currently have gyms or exercise facilities and if they have showers, so you can direct your stinky friends that direction.
Well, you know, Mark, that'll just between that and the lounges, I think they should combine that. You go into the exclusive lounge, and there they have, you know, like hotels do. They get a small room, and they get five or six treadmills, and they call it an exercise room, and they could go hit the day, and then they'd have maybe one shower, and you could have it all in one place in the exercise lounge and gym. All right, Marissa writes, you'll love this one. She says, I love to fly Spirit Airlines. And she's concerned by your comments that they are likely to go out of business soon. And your comments aren't the only ones. Is there any way to protect myself in case they stop flying?
Well, yes, there is. And the best way to do this, and most people do this automatically anyway, without thinking about the protection that it might offer them, but charge your ticket with a credit card. Don't pay cash for the ticket. Charge your ticket on a credit card if you possibly can. There's another way to do it would be to purchase travel insurance, but there's a caveat in most travel insurance. The ticket has to be purchased at least 14 days before a bankruptcy. And with the Spirit's already declared bankruptcy twice in the last year, there are more than rampant rumors around the industry right now that Spirit is going to cease flying very soon. I don't have any knowledge of that one way or another, except as I've commented on the show before, when I see the people who are saying that, it makes me think that it is a real possibility. But Marissa, keep on flying Spirit Airlines. It probably saves you some decent money, especially if you carry your bags on and the like. So if you're a Spirit Airlines fan, go for it. They need as many fans as they can get right now. But just make sure that your ticket is charged to a credit card, because then if the flight doesn't go, you can do a credit card chargeback, and then you won't get stuck paying for the ticket. Tom, I use this marvelous thing called the internet and AI here while you were posing the next question, and so I can tell you that there are airports that already have fitness and shower facilities. Most of them are international. The only one that came up on the list that's in the United States is the one I was just talking about, with American being a place that was a bad connection, which is DFW. It says Minute Suites offer private shower rentals, and hotels like the Hyatt, which is at Chicago's O'Hare, also provide fitness options. But, of course, you have to get two passengers, so you don't have to be checking into the hotel, but for a price, you can use the gym. So if you had a 3 or 4 hour layover or something, that would be helpful. The other ones I see here, Vancouver, Fairmont Health Club provides gym, pool, showers, and gear rental. And Toronto Pearson Airport has a fitness center with showers, toiletries, and even gear rentals. So, Mr. Secretary of Transportation, I would point out to you that the exercise thing is not necessarily a bad idea. But because exercise brings some other downsides, if you have to sit right next to other travelers, that you might suggest to people, unless they're flying in or out of Dallas and can use the facilities there, that maybe you've gotten out ahead of your skis here just a little bit.
Ahead of your skis. I like that. All right. Let's see. Let's do one more before we take a time out and then wrap up the rest of the Travel Guys mailbag. If you're just joining us, that's what you're listening to. It's Mark and Tom. It's the Travel Guys radio show here. Donnell wants to know, why are government wonks pushing flyers to dress up and play nice at the airport? Seems like if the airline stopped packing people into tiny spaces on the planes like sardines, people wouldn't be so stressed out. I guess it's not a question as much as it is an observation, Mark.
Well, Donnell, I completely agree with you, but I really don't think that it has to do with what people are wearing. I mean, I flew on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And there, of course, were lots and lots of families flying and traveling. And more than one, I thought it was kind of cute. One lady who, I guess she was a single parent, or at least she was for the day. And she had three little ones with her who were probably ages, I'd say 3, 4, and 5, something like that. And she had dressed them all in the same pajamas. So when she went through the airport, if there was a kid loose and they had on that color pajamas, why, then she probably knew it was hers. Probably made it a little easier to keep track of the rugrats as she went through the terminal. And when I saw them, I thought about, you know, well, let's dress up and wear coats and ties at the airport, which of course people are not going to do. But as we commented before, there's nothing wrong with, I don't care what you wear to the airport. As long as you cover all of those things that are supposed to be covered, and as long as you shower and brush your teeth before you come, because you might be sitting next to me. And that's really the most important thing. It doesn't matter to me whether you have a coat and tie or you're wearing yesterday's clothes. As long as you don't smell bad, then we'll get along just fine for an extended period of time, I'm sure.
Well, all right. More to come. We are the Travel Guys. It's the Travel Guys mailbag. Stick around. We'll be right back. Live and in living radio, as I always say. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Remember our website, travelguysradio.com. And like I say, if you miss a show, you can go back and catch a podcast. Listener who asked about lounges, they can go back a couple of shows and hear what Clayton, our guest, had to say. All right, back to the mailbag we go. Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
All righty. Robert writes, lots of hotels include breakfast. That I don't know if the word lots is appropriate here, but you know, but most of them aren't really worth much. What's your opinion? Which hotel chain offers the best included breakfast? Mark, you take people all over the place all year long with Sports Leisure Vacations, and probably know more about this than most. What's your answer?
To Robert's observation of his quote, but most of them aren't really worth much, I would agree with that. And in increasing numbers, most of them aren't really worth much. You know, it used to be that you went to a Best Western or a Hampton, and you knew that their breakfast in the morning was kind of an expanded Continental, and the quality was a little bit, you know, it wasn't the top of the list stuff, and, you know, who knows what the sausage was made of. And so you went in and had breakfast, and if you could tolerate it, or you had a bowl of cereal with milk or and some orange juice or something like that, and hey, you know, it was free. So, or, well, it's kind of built into the cost of the room, but they told you it was free. And now, increasingly, you go and stay at places like Marriott's and Hilton's that have breakfast buffets that are either included, depending on your status, or that you have to pay for. And instead of nice hash browns, they have these little pieces of potato that they've deep fried, kind of like French fries sort of thing. The fruit is all pre-cut industrial stuff that, you know, probably was grade Z, because that's the cheapest that they could get. And increasingly, my point is, the cheapo breakfasts are infiltrating what used to be good breakfasts. So really, to me, I prefer to go into a hotel and sit down in a restaurant and order breakfast that they have to make for me, because oftentimes it's way superior. Now, that's a time factor, of course. But when Embassy Suites first came out, this has been, 40 years ago. When Embassy Suites first showed up as a brand, it was free cocktails and free breakfast, and they were the first people to do that. And the breakfast, it was omelets cooked to order, which it still is at many Embassy Suites. And the food was of reasonably decent quality, and it really set them aside from everybody else. Unfortunately, that has all gone south. So when you say, in my opinion, which hotel chain offers the best included breakfast, I would say I wouldn't answer with a chain. It's individual hotels that have chose to include breakfast in their offering that have made it better. And sometimes that's a Country Inn. And sometimes I'm trying to think of the name of the hotel in downtown Louisville that we just stayed at a little over a year ago. But anyway, fancy hotel in downtown Louisville. And they do a breakfast, and it's like $40. And it's like a Sunday brunch every single day. I mean, it's all kinds of fresh fruit and all kinds of wonderful stuff. And I wouldn't be inclined to pay $40 plus tax and gratuity would make it $50 for breakfast every day. But when I'm a traveler and I get to go there and stay for a couple of days, that would be my favorite. So I say that probably some of the independent hotels, you know, Harrah's Lake Tahoe years ago used to have a Sunday brunch that topped them all. And you got a beautiful view of the mountains in Lake Tahoe from the top of the casino. And you almost forgot that you'd, you know, already lost $100 before you went up there. And you probably would lose some more on the way when you got back down to the casino floor. But that's something that has come and gone. But anyways, I don't really have a chain that has a best included breakfast. Tom, you travel some. You tend to use Hamptons and things like that. Do you have a favorite that you like?
Yeah, actually I do, and it's not. It's a small chain. It's part of the Aries Hotel Group. They don't have many. If you look them up, there's one in Orange County that's a great place to stay if you're going to Disneyland, and they have a little restaurant cafe, and they do not only breakfast, but they do lunch and dinner, and it's all cooked right there, and you get up and then you can enjoy some pretty decent food. I think this is pretty common. You're going to find small hotel groups or standalones that are going to offer it. But that's my choice. The Aries in Southern California. Like I say, I think they have two or three of them down there. But that's where I would go. Either that, or you look for a hotel that's got a nice little restaurant that's just out the door.
Yeah, perfect. What a great thing. We were just in Palm Springs at a hotel the dunes that didn't have a restaurant. So we had to take our people a half a block away to this wonderful little homegrown thing run by a couple of Mexican guys. They busted their butts for us to produce a great breakfast and did. So you're absolutely right. Sometimes the best breakfast is, you know, is outside the door of the hotel. And some of these hotel breakfasts have become so, I use the word institutionalized. They are just, they're just cranking them out of the kitchen. And besides that, the bacon is lousy. So, you know, I mean, show me a hotel breakfast with good bacon and good biscuits and gravy, and I'm on board, and also probably consumed my fat grams for the day.
There you go. We're the Travel Guys. Got a couple more before we wrap it up. Linda writes, can you tell us about your podcast? Where can I find it? Well, we mentioned it a couple of times. Sacktown Sports, where you're listening right now, on their website. And as I mentioned, you can go to travelguysradio.com. And Mark had Sarah hook up a special thing a few years back where you can sign up, okay, for the podcasts. And we'll send you a link each week that tells you when the podcast is available. That way you don't have to keep going back and clicking and it's not there. So we'll send you an email. It'll link you right there. You click on that and it takes you to the podcast. Where else, Mark? I think that pretty much covers it.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Great job.
All right. Last question from Thomas. And we know this question. We've heard this one before. Next time you have the airport people on the radio show, Mark, tell them what a disaster parking is out at our Sacramento International. I've given up trying to find a space. He's one of my kind of guys. Either you pay Uber or Lyft $30 to get you there, or maybe get a friend to take you. He says, do you have any airport parking hacks?
I thank you, Thomas. I think you've hit on the best one. Also, if Uber or Lyft is only $30 to the airport, you must live somehow in the Thomas area already. A lot of people say if you're going, you know, in his case, if it's $30 each way, that's $60. That's about 4 or 5 days parking at the airport, maybe even three if you're parking in the garage. So some people will tell me that, hey, it's just as easy to take a car to the airport and then I don't have to worry about finding a parking space or something like that. I think more and more, I'll call them professional travelers, are using that kind of service to get to and from the airport. And I will remind you, Thomas, that all is not lost. We are going to have a new parking garage at the airport very soon. I mean, they're building it right now. So within a short period of time here, the parking situation at the airport is going to change dramatically, says the man who is parked in the surface lot on the very last row currently. So I think like one of the last three or four spots the other day when I was leaving on Christmas Eve. So Thomas, hang in there. It will get better, but your Uber Lyft idea is not a bad one at all.
How long did it take you to find your far away parking spot? And at any time, did you think that you weren't going to find anything?
Oh, this is great. We should have made this into a travel tip. When you're going into the airport, especially the surface lot, the daily lot, just keep driving until you see people walking up to the terminals, because that's where the open parking spaces are. I see all these people going down all these rows and trying to, you know, scoop one, especially early in the day when there are no inbound customers. So nobody's leaving the airport. They're just arriving. But really and truly go to where you see the folks walking in, because that's where the parking spaces are. If there were closer parking spaces, they wouldn't be walking from all the way out there. That's for sure. Hey, listen, I wanted to share one other travel tip here, and I had a comment about Rudy's Hideaway, too. If you're traveling, if you're driving for the holidays, and you probably already know this, but many people who are listening are probably getting ready to head back home, may have a New Year's trip planned or staying over the holidays and then going home, hit the road early. AAA says that people who leave their house by 7:30 in the morning arrive at their destination an average of 24% earlier than anybody else. So if you leave early, plus also AAA says if you leave early, you will tend to have your meals early too, which will keep you out of the rush hours at restaurants. I thought that was a great idea. And finally, my comment about Rudy's, what a great place to go for a holiday dinner, because it's an old style, old timey sort of restaurant. And they treat you like your family. And where a better place to be if you are lonely on the holidays than to go someplace where they treat you like family?
Wonderful. Well, that wraps it for today. Thanks for coming along. Mark, final comment.
Dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Traveler is always leaving town. He never has the time.